Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, soon to be Liberty State, and brought to you once again by the committed elect Matt Shea, Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope, not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. And it's about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And as Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. If we walk in the sonship, the daughtership of Jesus Christ, but the sonship of Jesus Christ, the true identity that God has for us, it is amazing how many things are solved just by getting our identity straight. We're sons and daughters of the living God, Almighty God. And all of the weapons formed against us, all of the attacks, all of the frustrations, all of the loss and heartache and tragedy, the times when you're feeling like, man, am I making a difference? Is anybody really listening to all those things? You can put it under the feet of Jesus Christ. And if we're abiding in him and him in us, all of those things are under our feet too. It is amazing the release there. It is amazing. And I hope that encourages you today, because we are going to be talking about a ton of different things. I'm going to get into some touchy areas, but we got to talk about the truth, and the truth will set you free. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, Venezuela. Okay, the IMF prediction is 1,000,000% inflation in a year, next year. So what does Maduro do? So the Venezuelans say, you know, hey, we can't, there's no way we could survive. This is Weimar Germany, Zimbabwe, all over again. This is what happens when socialism fails. Currency is completely destroyed. Socialism kills and destroys and subjugates. And so we shouldn't be surprised that money is dying according to the same pattern it historically has in Venezuela, an oil-rich nation. So what does Maduro do? Maduro does what all these people, is so predictable. So, you know, they run out of money quite literally to print money. Then hyperinflation sets in. People are scrambling for tangible goods because that's the only thing worth anything anymore. And so Maduro says, to solve this problem, I'm going to just remove a few zeros from the currency. Come on. I mean, this is what they do every time. How money dies. There's a book written about it. You can go look it up. Here it is again. Global warming alarmists proven wrong again. You know, it's interesting. We can't even really have a debate on this anymore. You know, the remote satellite data set, the ocean buoys, all of these things are showing that it is not what the global warming alarmists said it was. The modeling was totally wrong. The temperatures do fluctuate, but it's based on the sun and the decadal oscillations of the ocean. So look, it shouldn't surprise any of us that the Arctic ice is actually thicker, which goes against a lot of these alarmist claims, including in The Verge. It's a leftist publication. I shouldn't say use the word leftist, socialist publication. And this socialist leaning publication puts it out there to alarm everybody. Oh, you know, the Arctic ice is melting. And then they prove it's not true. And then instead Snopes comes out and says, wait a minute. These global warming deniers are really talking about something different. That's not what anybody's claimed. Yes, it is. It's in a bunch of left. I will cure myself of that. a bunch of socialist publications. It is. Stop lying to people. This is why the media is openly mocked now. CNN the other day, people were chanting against CNN, so the reporter couldn't report, and boy, they were incensed about it. Look at, the media does not matter anymore. We are the media. Become the media, because that's the only way the truth is going to get out. These people are a socialist propaganda machine in the mainstream media right now. The only way we get the truth out is through our own networks. And I've got a tool. I was just on a phone conference before it came on the radio show, literally 10 minutes before. And we were discussing a solution, and you're going to love it. Okay, if you're an activist, if you are actually one of those people who wants to go take action, contact me privately. Love to talk to you. Because we have a solution. It's phenomenal, actually. All right. Back to the global warming alarmists. Okay. These same people made the claims back in the 70s about the Great Ice Age coming. And then nobody recognizes the fact that Greenland was green at one time, and it's a little colder there now. It's just, we have to look at facts. And you notice the leftists can never argue. They say they're arguing facts, but when you ask them to quote something, they always quote a socialist publication. Always. And by the way, the socialist publication isn't a primary source. A study done on it, that's a primary source, which is what I cited, by the way. And somebody comes back and says, it's getting warmer in Minnesota. It's hotter in Minnesota than it is in Miami. So I went and pulled up the temperature records, and they said, no, it's not. Days over 95 degrees, over 200 in Miami. You're talking like 60 in Minnesota. What are you talking? And then you're like, oh, that's not what I said. And you know that's not right. Yes, it is what you said. They can't even take reality slapping them in the face. And so it's our job to get the facts out continually and continually. And sooner or later, somebody's heart softens, and all of a sudden, you don't know when it is, that seed that has been planted, boom, it blossoms. And they give their lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Also on the international front, Hungary. Viktor Orban. This guy, he keeps impressing all over the place. Okay. So he comes out. And there's an article, InfoWars Europe, that talks about this. He continues to rally the anti-communist Christians in Europe. And here are his five pillars, okay? Viktor Orban's five pillars that were in this article, okay? Number one, all Central European countries have the right to protect their Christian culture and reject forced multiculturalism by the EU. Number two, all of these countries have the right to protect the traditional family model. And all children should have the right to a mother and a father. Number three, all countries have the right to protect their key economic sectors. Number four, all countries have the right to protect their borders and reject immigration. Number five, all countries should have the right to stick to the principle of one nation, one vote in the EU. Whoa. And Austria and Poland, and the Czech Republic, and Italy, Romania. Countries are coming on board. Croatia, actually, just the other day, put its foot down. You are seeing the resurgence of nationalism, and the global elites do not know what to do about this, because that means they can't control people. And so this is why elections are important. I'm going to get to this here in a few minutes. Just remember that elections are important, okay, to fight back on these people that think they are a nobility. And I'll get to that here in a bit. All right, we're going to move next to the National Front. Unbelievable article out there. Southern Poverty Law Center, this is in the Exposing the Left segment, if you will. But some of this stuff, you're so stunned by it. I don't know. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore. But I am still. It's just it's a horrible time we live in when we start, you know, these people that are socialists and have the socialist bent, they project onto everybody else how they are themselves. And so, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center for years has said, you know, it is the big watchdog, you know, for hate. And they've said that, well, everybody else that's Christian, has a Christian worldview, must be a hater. They've said that those people must actually be, you know, members of cults and those kind of things, at least implying it. All right. Big League Politics published this article July 30th, 2018. SPLC co-founder Morris Dees was accused of trying to molest his sex daughter, or his stepdaughter, with a sex toy. So Morris Dees, the co-founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the people that are all out there against Christians and conservatives and people that are pro-life, has been accused of trying to molest his stepdaughter with a sex toy. And this comes out of divorce documents back in 1979. So this has been hidden for that long. So you need to check the article out. I'm going to make sure it's posted over the next couple of days. But that's who's behind some of these organizations. Now, will any of the leftists out there right now condemn Morris Dees? Will they come out publicly and say, no, Morris Dees needs to resign, step down, not have any affiliation with any organizations into the future? Will they do that right now? Chirp, chirp, chirp. In addition to that, this coming to us from CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. And this is actually partly a good thing. The DOJ is starting a religious liberty task force. Amen. In fact, religious liberty is starting to affect foreign policy. Pompeo specifically said that if Turkey didn't release a minister that's being held over there, that there would be serious sanctions. And you're starting to see a turnaround for Christians in America, that Christianity is not something to be fined and sued. Christians are not. They should be allowed to live out their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. And so it's a good thing that the DOJ is putting together this religious liberty task force. Here's the problem. The Southern Poverty Law Center has associations with the FBI and the DOJ. So until those are disavowed, a religious liberty task force, I gotta agree with CBN, we should be concerned. And these are the people that have not Christian worldview. If you're pro-life, you're a hater. If you have a Christian worldview on marriage, you're a hater. And this is what the socialists do. They try to demonize people. It's a fairly old tactic, but they're doing it. So that's important. Now I'm going to move on to real terrorists, okay? People that are seeking the overthrow of the United States Constitution. And you haven't even heard about this on the mainstream media. South Dakota officials, this is coming to us from Gateway Pundit, South Dakota officials arrested far-left Antifa terrorist Mark Einerwald on charges of burglary, damage to property, and possession of weapons and explosives. And Einerwald had plans to sell the explosives to associates to bomb law enforcement. Okay? You have an actual Antifa member. Now, again, I call on PJALs and all these radical socialist organizations in downtown Spokane that are so self-righteous. Condemn that. Come out and publicly condemn that. And it's interesting to me that now they're really turning. August 4th in Portland, it is escalating to the point that Antifa's calling for violence. And at least now it's interesting because they'll say, well, we haven't exactly. Yeah, you are implying it. Absolutely you are. And they're saying that they need to get their guns now. And if you don't believe that, go check out the Socialist Rifle Association. It's real. SRA, Socialist Rifle Association. Okay. Now, this is key for this reason. All of these organizations are interconnected in some way, shape, or form, and they definitely communicate. The Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, as I have briefed before, is kind of the center of the beast, okay? It's the belly of the beast. The Peace Justice Action League of Spokane has had in members of CARE, which was found in the Holy Land Foundation trial to be a member of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian Committee. They have had in, as their keynote speaker, member of the Communist Party USA, Judith LeBlanc. And oh, by the way, one of their speakers was Lisa Brown, the one that's trying to make it look like, oh, I'm just a moderate and I'm harmless. Yeah, she spoke at PGALS. Okay, and this is the same organization that had individuals that are very, very clearly anti-Israel with their BDS movement, boycott, divest, and sanctions movement. And I think quite candidly, that's anti-Semitic. And some of the rhetoric that comes out of there really seems like it's that way. So these organizations understand, these socialist organizations, and I'm going to keep talking about exposing the left out there, are interconnected, indivisible. And we've got screen captures of this stuff. Indivisible and PJALs meeting together, Peace Justice Action League of Spokane. One elected official who claimed to start Indivisible is actually an elected office here in this county right now. And so we need to know who these people are and not be so naive to think that these are just people that have lost their way. These are intentional, trained socialists. And we're going to keep our eye on Portland for here coming up here on August 4th, because the rhetoric and the escalation down there, if it continues that way, it's just not going to end well. It's not going to be good for anybody. All right, next on the national front, Cambridge, this coming off Technocracy News. Scientists create artificial embryos from stem cells. In other words, they're creating human beings from scratch, okay? Cambridge is claiming it. That's absolutely scary. As scary as what I heard last night. It was actually at Spokane County Cattlemen's meeting right after the pro-life rally last night, and they were talking about this new thing called fake meat, where they grow it in a petri dish. I mean, this is disgusting stuff, and I'll do a little bit of a briefing on that later, but the bottom line is now they're creating artificial embryos from stem cells. It's a brave new world, folks. It is a brave new world. All right, also on the national front, there's a renewed push by some in Congress to recognize the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Amen. Finally, I hope they do it and don't just talk about it. UAE recognizes it as a terrorist organization. Most of the people in the Middle East recognize it that way. Why aren't we? All right. Also on the regional front. Now, it's important to know that the Hammonds were pardoned, but Todd Engel is still in jail, 14-year sentence. Really, to a lot of people observing, it looked like retribution for all the other cases going sideways. And so I hope that the Trump administration takes a look at a commutation of the sentence there. Way overboard for him. Just way overboard. And next on the regional front, the trial has started. The Astorita trial has started in Portland. He's charged with lying. This is Joseph Astorita. He's an FBI hostage rescue team member charged with lying and obstructing justice in connection with the events that culminated in the death of Lavoy Finicum. Now, this is coming to us from Readout News, doing a great job, Sherry Duvalli. But here is the interesting part. According to the prosecutor, and this is in the opening statements, according to the prosecutor, there were 8 shots fired. Okay, now, let's count backwards, okay? As the vehicle is approaching, you can hear 2 shots. As Lavoy gets out, you can hear 2 more shots. And then he's shot 3 times, okay? So there's another shot in there somewhere. 8 shots were fired, and only 2 of the shell casings were recovered. And the prosecutor is suggesting that Astorita collected the missing 6 casings. Very interesting, because what that means is the prosecutor is alleging tampering with the scene. Why would you tamper with the scene if it was a clean shoot, as they like to say? Why would you fire 8 shots? Why would you use a dead man's roadblock against someone who did not have a warrant out for his arrest at the time? Does everybody know that? He didn't have it. Which I think violates a ton of protocol on top of that. All right, also, and this is kind of regional, national, but just want to make sure everybody knows about it. The mainstream media just does not pick up on this stuff. But the Committee on Natural Resources sent a letter to Kieran Suckling, executive director for the Center for Biological Diversity. Remember that name, the Center for Biological Diversity, okay? They're kind of a center of the beast, too. They're based out of Tucson, Arizona. So they sent him a letter, and this is Rob Bishop, the chairman, and Bruce Westerman, the chairman on the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, sent him a letter because they believe that the Center for Biological Diversity has been coordinating, and this is key, coordinating with foreign governments or foreign entities. And that's what they're investigating to see if this is accurate. And if that's the case, they need to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. It's called FARA, Foreign Agents Registration Act. And the purpose of FARA is to ensure that the United States government and the people of the U.S. are informed of the potential source of information, and they actually use parentheses, propaganda, and the identity of persons attempting to influence U.S. public opinion, policy, and laws. And any person, if they act at the request of a foreign principal or of a person, any of whose activities are directly or indirectly supervised, directed, controlled, financed, or subsidized in whole or in part by a foreign principal, they got to register under this. And so it's about time that these ties to overseas entities by these radical environmentalists is investigated, and it's happening right now, and you're probably only going to hear it here first. The letter was originally sent out by the Committee on Natural Resources on June 20th, and they gave them a deadline of June 28th. So I'm going to try to track down what has happened since then. But everybody needs to know that this occurred. Also on the regional front, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I want you to hear that again. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled positively on the right to bear arms twice in about a week. The first that I'll mention is that they rule that the Constitution protects the right to openly carry a gun in public, which kind of flies in the face, as Readout News pointed out, of the whole prosecution down at Bunkerville. But I digress. Okay? It was based on a case that came out of Hawaii that the right to open carry should only apply to guns kept at home. That doesn't even make sense. But here's the quote by Dermot O'Scanlan. Nice Irish name. But for better or for worse, the Second Amendment does protect the right to carry a firearm in public for self-defense, end quote, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Then the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals comes out and protects the right to bear arms and stops the confiscatory magazine ban that was put in place down in California. This is actually kind of unreal. I'm kind of stunned, actually, by it, that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is now ruling in favor of the Second Amendment. This coming from the National Review. I'll read a quote from the article. Violent gun use is a constitutionally protected means for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves from criminals. Violent gun use is a constitutionally protected means for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves from criminals. Implicit in the concept of public safety is the right of law-abiding people to use firearms and the magazines that make them work to protect themselves, their families, their homes, and their state against all armed enemies. Wow. Foreign and domestic is the next part of that, end quote. Amazing ruling out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I posted it up online. You can go check it out on Patriot Radio. Share that one with your friends and family. Maybe keep it for Thanksgiving dinner for when your Seattle relatives come over. All right. I want to move to the Free Range Report has this story. Remember I talked about the student that was chased up a tree in Northeast Washington by a pack of wolves, okay? I want you to hear this. In a county commissioner's deposition, the Okanagan Sheriff's Office told the rescued employee to stay at the OMAC airport until the deputies arrived in order to interview her, okay? Because this is now an investigation by local law enforcement, okay? Local peace officers. But before the deputies arrived at the airport, a U.S. Forest Service vehicle arrived at the OMAC airport and took the employee away, and she has not been seen or heard from since the incident. Do you think they're trying to cover up that wolf issue up there, this whole idea that wolves are all friendly and everything and they can be around human beings? And then they take away the witness from sheriff deputies. Unreal. All right, on the local front, Trezzy Farm Winery ranked number one in the number eight listed region in the country in Travel and Leisure magazine. Congratulations to Trezzy Farm Winery. I completely agree, by the way, if you have never been up there to eat, but it's just great to have a local business honored in that way. Also on the local front, a bunch of events coming up. First, we'll start with Franklin Graham and Decision America. August 9th. 7 p.m. Spokane County Fairgrounds. Franklin Graham's going to be here. Look forward to seeing everybody there. Also, Operation Save Spokane. If you've never heard of that, very good pro-life organization. It's a local grassroots mission to awaken the church and abolish abortion. Going to be here on August 11th and 12th. Very likely down on the near the Planned Parenthood on Indiana. They're also going to be at I think some local churches as well, and I'll get some more information out on that when I have it. Next event, the Liberty or Death Rally. This is a key event for the right to bear arms. It's going to be happening August 18th here in Spokane at Franklin Park, August 18th, 11:30 to 2 o'clock. So that's an event that you need to make. Now, there's been a lot of this Trump slump lately where people are like, ah, Trump's in office, I don't need to attend. Listen, we have to be at some of these things. Make the time on your schedule. Get your family and friends there as well. Last but not least, my recommendations on the primary election, which is coming up this next Tuesday, are at voteshay.com. Click on Solutions and go to Matt's Take on Elections. Now, I want to thank everybody, and I'm humbled and honored to have your vote again. And thank you to everybody that's been sending me pictures of that, too. That's awesome. But we need to understand that we don't just face challenges from the socialists. We also face challenges from within our own camp. In fact, Republicans in general have confused nobility with leadership. Leadership is not something that is born by birth, it is born by action. And Republicans in general have confused that. And my problem with that is you expect people to be your friends, and you expect people to honor the sacrifice of those people that have died overseas so that we can stay free. And they come back home and they compromise because it's the easiest thing to do to stay in power. Those are not the people we want in office. They're not the people we want in office. And while we believe We Vote has a great recommendation, there's one candidate I completely disagree with their recommendation on. Completely disagree. For this very reason. So go check out my recommendations online, and remember something, that when we vote, if there is a candidate on there that is going to stand for this country unashamedly and not worry about getting reelected, that's the person you want. You're going to stand unashamedly for the Constitution, unashamedly for life, unashamedly for liberty, unashamedly for property. That's the guy or gal you want. We don't have an excuse not to vote. Turnout's down like 35%. Look, our country goes in the wrong direction because we're not showing up to vote. So get on the phone with 10 friends or family members and call them up and ask them if they voted. And if they haven't, get on them about it. Gently, of course. Because this is what turns countries around or allows countries to slide into the abyss. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember, too, this is a listener-supported show. And if you want, you can always go to voteshay.com and donate to keep us on the air. We're also on iTunes and Podbean. Check that out as well. And it's my pleasure to bring back on a great friend of Patriot Radio, John Trudell. He's the author of Raven's Resurrection, among many others. And just generally in the know about a lot of issues. We'll go through a lot of them today. John, thanks for joining me on the radio today.
Well, thank you for having me back, Matt. Honored to be here. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. I'm really grateful and excited about some of the things that you're doing and some of the things you're exposing as well. So I want to kind of get right into that. Tell the listeners about your latest book, if you could. Let's start there.
Yeah, why don't we start with that? That's a good place. Basically, without going through a long introduction, I'm a fellow who worked in high tech for a long, long time, did very interesting things, lived the American dream, and had a great career. Retired, now I write novels, and my tagline is, thrillers are fiction until it happens. And I've got 6 novels out, but we'll leave attention just on the current series. I think the last time I talked to you, We're still having issues with the ranchers here in Oregon, and my book that had just come out was Raven's Run. Is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
Okay. Well, that set off a major upheaval in the world, my little book. My plot line for that, which, you know, after thinking about it, I came up with a scary plot. I didn't think it was very plausible at the time. But what if we had terrorists with Iranian nuclear weapons? That'd be pretty scary. Okay. Implausible. How could that happen? All right. Well, books not even out yet. And they start talking about the Iran deal. And there's a Christmas party at the White House. Michelle Bachmann is retiring as a congressperson and committee member. And she, her last discussion with Trump, she sets it up in the reception line so she can just give him one message. And it's, Mr. President, you must not make a deal with Iran. And, of course, he goes there, 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 pats her on the head and says, don't worry your little head about it. It's going to be wonderful. And that was one of the first public mentions that there was even anything going on. And I have this novel, so everybody wants to, what's going on? Well, okay, so we're talking about it, and wouldn't that be scary? And the next thing that happens is, for the second time in American history, we have a major head of state coming to the United States to warn us of a threat. The last time had been Churchill warning about Hitler. Well, this time it was Netanyahu warning about Iran, and Congress mostly boycotted him. Okay. But a lot of people got interested in that, and all of a sudden I had a big social media following. One of the presidential campaigns, they were even campaigning that early, picked up one of my little newsletters that went to their distributions, a whole bunch of people. And so there was a lot of talk and people trying to block the Iran deal. Well, of course, in the real world, we lost. But my characters won in the novel, okay? And the novel got a lot of attention, which is, as you probably know, it's both good and bad. You get friends, you get enemies. That was the first book. It won awards. The second book, you know, my characters had prevailed, done in the bad guys. The second book was Raven's Redemption. He takes his wounded little team, and now they're trying to assassinate the president, the bad guys. And that was the story in Raven's Redemption. And then just out now is my current novel. I've only done a few interviews on it so far, which is Raven's Resurrection. And I just couldn't stand it. I had to put Russians in my novel. Okay. So I've got some really nasty Russians in there, and they are typically Russian. And so my characters are just nervous as a bunch of cats because they need their help in order to survive and to thwart these bad guys. But on the other hand, can they trust them? And so that's the novel, and we'll stick to that one. All of my novels, and I'll give where you can get more information. Anybody who wants to know about my novels, the fiction part of my world, is just my webpage. It's just my name, www.johntrudell, J-O-H-N-T-R-U-D-E-L with one L. And that will get you everything about my books. And every one of my books, when you go to the title, there'll be a little link there. My tagline has become, is it real or is it fiction? And what my tagline is thrillers are fiction until it happens, and it keeps happening. So if you click on the link there, it takes you to my blog. And my blog is about the reality. Every one of my novels has a few pages in the back, and that talks about the research and what's real about this stuff. And you can always search on the blog. Just search for Is It Real? And then name one of the novels. Is It Real? Raven's Resurrection. And in this case, you find out an awful lot about the Russians, who are scary people, but we do have some common interests. And they could do some things we can't do. And that's the theme of my book, which is, of course, very controversial now. So information, the webpage, www.johntrudell.com. First chapters are up there. The blog, blog.johntrudell.com. And that's all the factual stuff that surrounds what I'm thinking about and writing and putting in my novels. And it has a lot of guest posts from people who are really doing this stuff. The thing that is going ballistic now, I call it feeding the beast. There's a lot of censorship and disinformation. We know the fake news. Well, the same thing's happening in cyberspace. So I have a pretty active Twitter page for an Indian author, independent author. On any given day, I get, I don't know, somewhere an average of maybe 5,000 or 6,000 impressions. People looking at my tweets, and a hot day would be maybe 25,000. Today it was running about 7,000, and those are things that I pass along that are factual. And you can get back to my blog for some of the details of why I think they're factual. So the blog is kind of heavy-duty facts. Little snippets is Twitter, and that's the battleground right now. Everybody's on there, including Trump, and it's about the only place where you can get a message out. And my view is, oh, and the other thing that happened, and we're transitioning now from novels to reality. Well, all this time I was doing novels, and as we talked about, Raven's Run came out, Iranian nukes, all of a sudden there's politicians looking at the novels, people talking about it. And the summer of 2016, before the election, I had been asked for a long time, who are you going to vote for? You know, give us a recommendation. And all I would say for, I don't know, 2 years, I said, look, you know, you guys have to do your own research. Well, come on, tell us what you think. And all I would say was, well, I hope they pick a good candidate, and I hope they run Hillary. Okay, and I kept saying that. And up until that August, I'll call him an associate. He's a famous writer. He's probably the number one guy in my genre, Brad Thor. He used to be on the Glenn Beck Show and all that kind of stuff. Brad's a savvy guy. He writes good books. And I guess people were asking him the same thing. Well, you research all this stuff. You research threats. What do you think? He wouldn't say either until August. And he comes out with an interview and his own blogs and tweets and things like that. And he finally says, well, I don't know, you know. The only thing I'm sure of is that Hillary would destroy the country. Trump might destroy the country, but I'm going with him, okay? And I said, that does it. And I declared it. I put out an alert note, and it went all over the place. And by the end of that month, I had been blacklisted on Amazon. So that was kind of a new era for John. Reality overtook my novels. And that's where we all are now. The reality is Trump won. The storm is here. And we can talk about that as much as you want. But my view is, as I think you know, is we're actually in the middle of a civil war right now. It's not a conventional civil war. We're shooting, or at least not much shooting. Scalise might disagree with that. But it is definitely somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, and the deep state is in panic. So the next election is critical. Go ahead.
Let's talk about that. I was actually down in your neck of the woods for a little while, and I'm hearing a lot of chatter about August 4th in Portland, that there is going to be some significant possible violence occurring down there. Where do you think this ends with these radical socialists like Antifa? Where do you think this ends? What does your gut say?
Revolutions are violent. These people are desperate. The old Democratic Party of John Kennedy doesn't exist anymore. It just isn't there, and I don't know how widely realized that is. But what you have left is a bunch of globalists, socialists, and people trying to hold on to power, and so they're desperate. You know, to them, if they lose the election, they lose everything. Now, what's kind of interesting, Let's talk about Portland. Is lost, I think. Right now, where I'm talking to you is not that far from Portland. But interestingly enough, I had a good friend of mine, Michael Connelly, not the novelist, the constitutional lawyer. Michael used to run the U.S. Justice Foundation. He was a good friend. He was a radio host. And he was also, for a time, he was the head of the U.S. Justice Foundation, so he was actively litigating some of these things. And the last interview I did with him, it's just USJF, if you go to my website for the books. He was a novelist, too, by the way. He kept trying to retire and write novels, and he wrote a couple of good ones, Michael Connelly. But the last interview I did with him was probably August of, I don't know what year it was. The date is on there. So just look under Raven's Redemption, and you'll see USJF, and there's an interview. And he would always press me as, well, what's going on? Because I had a lot of contacts. I have people who tell me things. I've got good sources. And he kept pressing me about the same thing you just asked me about. And what was going on in Portland at that time is they had just had, I'll call it a terrorist act. And they called it a crazy person killing people on one of the MAX trains. And that had just unfolded. And so, sure enough, Michael was pushing me about that. And the day that we did the interview, what had happened is you have these thugs and crazies that are just violent. They're on the edge of things, and one of them had boiled over and attacked some girls on a MAX train. A couple of guys tried to prevent it, and he killed them. And so you'd think, well, there's murder and everything. Well, what happened is the police did. People came out, they demonstrated. The police broke it up, and there were pictures of all these weapons they had collected from Antifa. Well, what the mayor of, and that lasted for maybe a week, and that was the week after the interview I did with Michael. And then, miracle of miracles, the mayor fired the police chief. Out of the blue, brought in a woman named Outlaw. That's literally her name. She was an assistant chief down in Oakland, which, of course, is a hotbed of radicalism. So they fired the police chief, brought her in, and now nobody is trying to stop Antifa. And I'm sorry, I would not go down into Portland without being armed and maybe even more than that. It's scary down there now. I mean, you look at it, it's turning into a 30. All the pictures, like San Francisco, homeless people in the streets, drug needles, that kind of stuff. So it's nasty down there. And I wouldn't go into Portland now to do a book signing. I really wouldn't.
Well, and this is, this kind of gets to where I'm trying to get to as a point. We, by the way, Oregon is burning down there. It was horrible fires, and a lot of people were very suspicious about how these fires all of a sudden would happen in a certain area. And it just kind of begs the question: are some of these maybe terror related? How much of this can the United States take? And we need to have unity. And that used to be the Constitution of the United States is what unified us, and that doesn't seem to be the case really much anymore, does it?
Well, no, and in fact, the incident that you and I used to talk about all the time with the ranchers, essentially what we made de facto law was we made it illegal to fight fires on a ranch. And that's what started it all with the Hammonds. Before they had the demonstrators come here to protest and support the Hammonds were imprisoned for the crime of trying to prevent incursion on their lands, for setting a backfire to protect their, which used to be best practices back then. And it was a horrible thing. So they were harassed for years by the government for fighting fires. And actually, it was two things. One was a fire, one was an invasive species, and each time they tried to deal with it, fires got out of control, and yeah, it did burn onto some public land, and you know, yes, that happened.
Barely, yeah.
Yeah, barely, and they admitted that, and they finally, after years and years and years of harassment, they made a deal with a judge, and they took, look, if you plead guilty, and you've already admitted to setting these fires, which they had, yeah, we set some backfires, so if you will plead guilty to arson, we'll give you a 3-month sentence, and that'll be the end of it. And that's what started the whole mess in Oregon. So the Hammonds, these old ranchers that just, a month ago, Trump finally pardoned them, were sent 3 months in jail, and it'd all be over. And when they were released in the dead of the worst winter we've ever had here, or one of the worst, real bad one, December, a bunch of ranchers had showed up to protest that they weren't being treated fairly. Well, what had happened, and they were to be released after their 3-month sentence, so now they're convicted felons. They've done 3 years for arson, which they really didn't commit. They didn't intend to hurt anything. They set a fire to protect their property. And the ranchers show up. Well, hello, the Hammonds never get released. What happens? Well, Loretta Lynch gets involved, and she says, oh, no. And she talks to the local judges, and she says, you've made a mistake. You can't sentence these people to 3 months. That's terrorism. That is a terrorist crime. It has a minimum sentence of 5 years. And so the Hammonds were never released. They were transshipped to a prison down in California as terrorists. Okay, a 71-year-old rancher and his grandson are thrown into solitary down there. And the ranchers here protested, but they were about to leave, because nobody was there. The Hammonds never were released, and there was nothing to talk about. And they're in this little town in the middle of nowhere, and they were going to one last meeting in the neighboring town, which is larger, John Day. And on the way to that meeting, they were ambushed, and basically their leader was shot down in a pre-planned ambush. Okay. So that's how it started. Oregon has gone off the rails to the left. I'm sorry, but it's pretty scary.
It is pretty scary. We have about 3 minutes left. If you could, in the last 3 minutes, what should Americans be paying attention to? And then also plug your website one more time and where they can buy your book.
Okay, I'm going to give you one factoid, and I want to get this on your show because I haven't said it publicly before, and I don't think anybody has. But the whole thing, basically it's going to be winner take all in this next election. And the Democrats can't win fairly. There's not enough Americans. They have to have that would vote for them. They have to have illegals, they have to have felons, and they have to have cheating. And one of the things, and people are starting to worry about that. They're starting to worry about voter fraud. Here in Oregon, you don't go to a poll. You just you mail it in, and you use a driver's license for ID, but they don't check for illegals. So how's that going to work? But even worse than that, and the one factoid I have from my career in high tech, networked computers, even in theory, cannot work for a voting system. They can't be trusted. Years ago, I did an assignment for a big company. We were looking at trusted managed networks. And you can make them trusted and keep everybody else out, but then you can't audit them. You can't verify them. Okay, to vote, you have to be able to do both. And they're starting to worry about the voting machines. Congressman Nunes is starting to worry about Soros machines, which, of course, are just a flagrant, disaster waiting to happen. But even if you had better quality machines and they weren't deliberately rigged, there are very dangerous things embedded in trying to network computers and then vote. Because if you steal a precinct, it's a small number of votes. If you steal the network, it's a big number of votes. And we need to know about that. Voter fraud and having a voter ID and everything will determine this election, I think. So that's something to worry about. As far as things to pay attention to, probably on my blog, the one I told you about, blog.johntrudell.com, T-R-U-D-E-L, The most recent posts are the last seven of them, the fourth from the most recent, the Obama shadow government. And it talks about how this has never happened before. 2 miles from the White House, we have an alternate government set up. Obama's there with Valerie Jarrett and all those kind of people, and they're running their own shadow government. And you get into that, well, what is this election about? It's really about a civil war. It isn't a discussion. It isn't a debate. The people talking are not arguing different points. They're talking about feelings, and they want to destroy anybody that objects to that. So I'd read that blog post, The Obama Shadow Government, Enemies Within. What should you do about it? That's the post above it. Trump should start declassifying the FBI records. The FBI has been pretty well corrupted. And most amazingly, this disaster at the FISA courts was predicted 30 years ago by none other than Judge Bork. Remember they Borked him? He said, yeah. No, you don't want to turn this over to judges. It'll become unaccountable. And by God, it has. So read the last four posts. Is it real or fiction? Raven's Resurrection. I talk about the Russians. The one after that's the FISA train wreck. After that, what action? They need to start declassifying these things. And if you want to know what's going on, basically, they're running a shadow government. There's no attempt at dialogue or compromise. It is a civil war.
And I think I really think that's what people need to look at on your blog. We are totally out of time. John Trudell, Raven's Resurrection, thank you very much. We'll have you on again, and I just love the work you're doing.
Hey, I love what you're doing, sir. Thank you for having me anytime. And, yeah, tell everybody about the books, and reviews are appreciated. And I hope you like my novels.
All right. God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one.